Welcome to Diving Into Writing with me, Lucinda Pebray, and Marielle Smith. Join us on our writing journey. This is episode 53 of Diving Into Writing. And it's Lucinda here with Marielle, and I think we agreed that we were talking about how you get to back to writing after a break.
Yes, because you just got back from a break.
I did. Well, no, I didn't. I did get back from a break. I have been on holiday, but I finished book three in that holiday. No internet, no phone signal, no Facebook. What else was I going to do?
This is something I really want to talk about in this during this episode. Like, what do you actually do on a break? That sounds amazing. Like, I think a lot of us would want that. Literally, there's like you're completely cut off of the world, so nothing to distract you.
And it wasn't even planned that way. It just sort of happened. So, what sort of week have you had?
I've had a crazy week, which is completely my fault. I've been waiting on a big editing project to show up, and it keeps being pushed into the future. So I thought, oh, this is amazing. I have like this whole week where I can just tend to a few little things that I haven't tended to. And of course, I completely overbooked myself. I have 6 nights that I've planned, mostly with meetings. I've been writing on all my projects, which is a lot. So yeah, my supposedly nice week off to prepare for the big editing project turned into let's completely overwhelm myself by all the things that I want to do for my own business and my own writing.
So do you think that you should have planned in some yoga, some swimming, some nice stuff?
I did all that. But because I've had this massive to-do list, it's not the same. I cannot fully relax if something will still happen that day. So yeah. I've had one meeting in the morning. The rest was all at night. And some meetings were like 9 p.m. at night.
Yeah, yeah.
And it doesn't really matter if I have the afternoon off. It's like I will go to the beach. I will spend some time with my stray cats. I will do a few laps in my pool, but you're constantly watching your phone. What time is it? What time is it? What time is it?
Yes. And the other problem is even sometimes I like not to have anything to do. So yes. Even if it's going to the gym, stuff that you want to do, it's if you've not got a night off, it's still a pain. You just don't have that space to just chill.
Yeah, so then and then what I get is that feeling like, why does everybody want something from me? And then I just, you know, realize, oh yeah, I did this because most of these meetings I arranged because now I had the time.
Yeah.
So it's all me. So this is great. This is for me another lesson about boundaries, which is something I think we'll keep learning about as we go. So how was your week?
Well, the holiday week was lovely. Yeah, we didn't do anything other than go to the beach every day and eat and drink red wine and just, yeah, eat Cornish pasties because we're in Cornwall and cake every day. Didn't do any cooking, just we ate where we were staying. It was a bit like a hippie community.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
It was and it was very safe, so you could go. It was all outside, you know, the bar and everything was outside, and they were very aware of precautions, so it was lovely. Yeah, loved it, and did loads of writing and got my novel finished. Well, sort of finished. It still needs to go through some rounds of edit.
Is this with your co-writing or is this your own project?
No, it's co-writing. So okay. It's gone to Amy.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, and and I'm thinking about the next project now.
So did you plan that? Did you plan on writing during the holiday?
Yes, because when we get to it, I write every day.
So. This is exactly what I wanted to ask you. How seriously you take that?
Quite seriously, yes.
Clearly.
Even Christmas Day. All right, Christmas Day.
So you read Stephen King's on writing then?
I have a lot in common with Stephen King, but not his bank account or his writing skills, perhaps. But
not yet.
Some of his philosophy on writing, I agree with.
Because this is the thing, the question that I wanted to ask you when I was thinking about this topic, like how do you get back into your writing after a break away from your writing, which you technically didn't actually have, is how can you, because some people do need those breaks, right? Some people do need to step away from their writing. Yeah. So the question that I've been wondering is how can, on the one hand, you have the advice, write every day, train that muscle every day.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, there is the advice, you do need a break. Like, it's not, especially if you treat it as a job, there is no job you do every day of the year. It's not healthy. So how can we marry those two? That's basically what I've been wondering this week.
I'm not sure that I have the answer. I know I can only talk about for me. And if writing was my whole job, it might be different. But because I've got a day job as well, it's a break from that. So it's just enjoyable writing for me.
Yeah.
Even the sloggy bits that you know where you because there are sloggy bits, aren't there? But it just takes me away from the world, from the, like in the same way as reading. It's quite funny when I'm reading something really good, I get really irritated if anyone interrupts me. I'm really bad tempered if anyone interrupts me.
Oh yeah, I'm not like that, but I do like the good. For me, the same, like writing offers the same kind of escape, as a good book does. But when I still had my day job. Although I do have, like, I'm not writing all the time. Obviously, I have a day job. But when I had my not writing-related day job, so when I was teaching, my holidays were basically me working on my novels.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that's where I'm at, maybe.
Yeah, I actually think, because I cannot... The thing for me is, when I take a break, I'm talking about my business or the editing, the coaching. So when I take that break and I get into that sort of mode of, okay, there's nothing I need to do now, that is when my ideas come to me or my novel starts speaking to me again, or I have another idea for a nonfiction project. So I just need a good 30 minutes of not feeling like I need to do anything, and then inspiration hits again. And then I'm like, no, I was going to have a break. Yeah. But then I'm writing again.
I usually get that sort of inspiration at the most inconvenient times. Like when you're finishing a book or you need to work on one book, and then you get ideas for something else. It's really annoying.
Yeah. Yeah, I just tend to write those down and go back to the book.
I do now. Yeah. I've learned to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Because what I find is that usually it's a distraction, and I just put it on a post-it and I stick it on my vision board. And sometimes after 3 months, I'm like, what was that idea? Oh, yeah, I'm not going to do anything with that. But it was sometimes I kind of feel like it's my ego trying to sort of get me off track.
Yeah. Tell me about your vision board, because you can't just throw that in.
Okay, so I have a vision wardrobe. It's basically the four doors of my built-in wardrobe. And
it's quite big then.
It's massive. Yeah. It's not just a vision board. It's just, so I have one panel that has like quotes that keep me going.
Yeah.
Then I have a panel that has all the courses and all the nonfiction books on writing, on the craft, on marketing that I still need to read, but that I do have.
Yes. I've got a few of those as well.
Yes. Yeah, so they're in my face all the time. So also all the writing, like the craft courses that I have half finished or whatever, they're also on there to rub me in the face.
Inspire you.
Yes. And then I have like my marketing plan, which is basically my publishing. It's not marketing, but it's my publishing plan. So yeah. When am I going to publish what? It also says how many blog posts I need to write. The podcast is now on it. So it's like when I know what I need to do what. And then my last panel is actually for my day job. So it basically has, it starts in January, it ends in December, and I just put on post-its, I will put what editing, translation, coaching, whatever projects I'm working on at the time. So I sort of kind of visualize how busy it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I will write down, this novel will take me 40 hours, and I'll just do a big 40. So I know, okay, so that month I already have 40 hours that are filled.
I love the idea of a vision board because I am quite visual, but I haven't really got anywhere to put one.
Well, that's why I use my wardrobe.
I never thought of that.
Do you want me to take a picture and put it in the show, like in the?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I will do that. It is massive, though. I will do that. Okay, but let's get back. Also, for me, actually, to go back to topic in a kind of a roundabout way, since I'm not subtle about these things, because I always know, like, it's so easy for me to know what I should be working on. That it's very easy for me if I step away from something for a little while to be, oh yeah, this is where I should be right now. So let's get cracking with this. It really helps with that.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. I'm not too bad at the moment because I've got the day job and then I've got the co-writing with Amy and then I leave everything else up to Amy at the moment. But at some stage, I do need to start with the marketing side of things and take responsibility.
So I think we established that we do take breaks as in holidays.
Yeah,
we take breaks from our day job.
Oh, that's
not necessarily from our writing. Although that might change. Like I can completely imagine, you know, if we ever get to the point where we can do this full time.
Yeah,
I'm not sure whether this is what I want because I really love my other job.
Same here.
Yeah. Financially will be fun to just, you know, be able to write enough so that all your bills are taken care of. That would be really fun. So I do wonder whether if we were full-time authors, whether we would need a break. And then I was thinking, and that would probably go for you as well, like I'm always working on so many projects. So for me, switching from one project to the other is also a break.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's not about needing to step away from everything entirely. It's more about I just need to step away from this thing for a moment.
There are a lot of benefits to taking a break, though, aren't there? I don't know anyone else that writes every day. So my author friends here, they definitely don't write every day. And they say it's because other stresses get in the way or it allows you to be more objective about what you're writing. So, I don't know.
So, right now, you're working on the co-writing project. So, that means if you write every day,
yeah,
you're always working on the same thing.
Yes, I have done. No, well, yes and no. The interspersed with that has been some of my own ideas, which is I've just worked on them enough to capture them, you know, so that I can develop them later on.
Okay, so you're still training that sort of like imaginative muscle.
Yes, yeah.
You're still working, okay.
And at the moment, I'm at the beginning of a new project. I'm still doing, we're still looking at a co-writing project, but it's a new one. So I'm in that phase of writing lots of ideas, but not actually writing a novel, if you know what I mean. But I still class that as writing.
Yeah. I was just going to say, because for me, I don't know if I write every day. because I don't produce new words every day. But for me, writing as a practice is a very broad thing. And I would say, and I think that goes for traditional writers now as well, there's so much more to being a writer or to write than it was like back in the day when, yeah, most of the things you needed to do was just, you know, sit in your chair and just type away at your typewriter, because there was none of the marketing things that even traditional publishers now expect of you. Like, you have to be a face, you have to be a brand, you have to show up for certain things. So I probably do something writing related every day.
Yeah.
I just don't always, it's not always because I have Scrivener or Scrivener. I still don't know how to pronounce it. I wonder whether they know how to pronounce it. I don't always have that open.
Yeah.
Depending on the kind of day, let's say I do something with my partner who's extremely busy right now, so I don't get to see her as much. But when we do, like, take a good day off together and we start like early in the morning, we do like a round trip over the island or something, then I won't have much time to do anything else.
Yeah.
But like if we go, like last Sunday we went to the beach, and so that gave me a few hours in the morning, and you know, I'm still doing a little something, even if it's just like writing a new writing prompt for my second volume of my writing journal, for example. So it's, or looking up quotes for that project or something.
You see,
so I'm always doing something.
Yeah, I would class that. I would class that as writing, though.
Yeah, I do as well. I do as well. The funny thing is, of course, and this is the double standard that I always hold myself against, I will tell my clients that is writing. But when it comes to myself, I'm like, writing on my fiction project. If I'm not writing on this one particular project, I haven't been doing any writing. For some reason, I cannot convince myself.
That's really interesting.
Right. Yeah, but I think it's because I feel like this is the thing that I need to write.
You know, when you put pressure on yourself, do you think that that helps or hinders your writing?
Okay, depends on the project. I'm writing a non-fiction series. It's going to be 10 little books. It's going to combine my interest in the tarot, chakra philosophy, and creativity, obviously. I try to pressure myself into writing the introduction because I had the idea that I was going to publish it the 1st of October. That was before I knew it was going to be 10 books. So now I know it's 10 books. I decided, you know what, that is going to be my publishing project for 2021. So I'll start on the 1st of January, and every 5 weeks I publish one of these little volumes. But I already got some new ARC readers who I initially promised that they would get the first book in September. So somehow I'm still trying to, I had in my head for a long time that I needed to write the introduction. Well, basically, I need to write the whole first little booklet, you know, before the end of October, before the end of September, because people are waiting for it. And just earlier today, when I looked at my schedule and I had to sort of write this introduction, on Sunday, because when else am I going to do it? I was like, I can also simply email them and say, hey, change of plans. That particular case, it doesn't help because clearly I'm not ready to write the introduction because I'm still figuring out how all the elements are connected for me. But when it comes to my fiction, a little bit of accountability for me goes a long way because otherwise I just deprioritize it.
Yeah. That's why co-writing's really good as well.
Because
any time Amy might go, actually, I've got a week free. Are you ready to hand it over? I'm like, no. So it has to be ready.
Yeah, and that works for me as well. And I think the difference is that with nonfiction, you're actually trying. It's much more closer to academic writing. In this particular new project, I'm trying to explain how all these elements for me work together and why I made certain decisions and what I hope people are going to get from following this 10-book series.
Yeah, yeah.
So that is a difference. So that this is me arguing. This is me trying to convince people or trying to show why. Well, of course, if you write a novel, that's a different way of doing it. Like yesterday, I met for the first time a writing group on the island. And suddenly they were like, okay. And somebody put like they had brought like this wooden ornament from home. They put it in the middle of the table. They said, 20 minutes, write about this thing. This is your prompt. And I was like, what? Because I didn't bring a notebook, anything. I didn't bring anything. So I was like, what are we doing? So I was looking at the thing for 2 minutes, and then I wrote a scene, which is basically the first scene of the third book in my trilogy.
That's good.
So the pressure then, so for fiction, I can do with pressure. I think with nonfiction, same with academic writing, if I get like pressure, my brain just goes like, no, you cannot figure this out.
I think that it's about the amount of pressure as well. It's just got be the right amount, hasn't it? And then you're okay. But if it's too much, it becomes stress and then writer's block and the rest of it.
Yeah, like I'm not good with deadlines at all. I'm always finished before the deadline. Since we've established that we do not actually take breaks from writing, really, how about...
Yeah.
Like when you take a holiday, right, that's on purpose, right?
Yeah.
But if you, sometimes breaks from writing happen just because life is intervening.
Yes. You're like admitted to hospital or something.
Something like that, or a loved one dies and
yeah.
Yeah. If you tell yourself to write while you're grieving and you're in shock, don't be that person. Don't do it to yourself. But sometimes, so that can happen. But of course, it can also happen that you have a project and you put it in the drawer, and Stephen King is like, put it there for like 6 weeks. And then you're like a year later, you open the drawer and you're like, oh yeah, right, I have this project here. So has that ever happened to you?
No.
And yet, damn it, Louise. Okay. Well, I guess that's just me then.
It happened to you, but if it's happened to you, that's good.
Well, okay, so I didn't forget about the project. It's just I completely, it's fiction, like fiction, of course, I completely deprioritized it again.
There's a theme here, Maria. A theme.
My fiction gets deprioritized.
Yeah,
I know. At one point, I sent the fourth draft to a bunch of beta readers. Then suddenly, 18 months had passed, and it was 1st of January 2020, and I realized I hadn't looked at the book yet. I read all the beta comments when they arrived, like August, September 2018, but I actually hadn't done anything with it.
Yes. No, that's never happened to me, no.
Okay. I got a little caught up with the whole divorcing, moving to Cyprus.
Okay.
And then the nonfiction kind of got into my life.
You're putting it in context now.
Yeah. I wasn't just like, but since I'm always working on so many things at the same time, like my muse is very satisfied. So what I did, because I wanted to talk a little bit, like if you do take a break from a writing project or from your writing, like how do you get back into it?
Yes.
So I know you have that experience from co-writing, because now it is with Amy, and when it comes back to you, you have to dive back in.
Yes.
And I wonder whether we do the same. Like,
yeah, that would be interesting. Yeah. So what do you do?
Well, what I did with this one, and this is not the first time that I've left it like sitting in a drawer for longer, but this was the longest that I've been away from it. Like, it was like literally like 1.5 years, or almost anyway. So I just start at the beginning. I just sat down and I started reading, and I do the same because I'm on and off working on the second book,
which is in first
draft. And basically what I do is I can't do it anymore because I'm halfway there. So it's going to be, I have to read like 60,000 words to get in it. So I have like bullet points, which should be in each chapter. And I'll just read like the previous few chapters, the first draft of that, to see kind of where I was going.
I'm going to say, so what format are your beats? Is it written on written paper? Is it on a Excel spreadsheet?
Actually, I actually have it printed out as well, and it was in my office back in the Netherlands. I it's not here anywhere. Like, I have it with me, but I haven't.
Not on the wardrobe.
On the wall. No, it's not on the wardrobe. Although I'm look, like, I do know there's a lot of things wrong with my first book because my first draft was pantsed. Yes, and it's a fantasy book, so yeah. Like, it's completely, I'm still not sure what is happening when.
Yes.
So my idea is I got one of those rolls of post-its, which is like completely sticky on one side, so it won't fall off. And I'm going to cut all the scenes, like I'm going to cut pieces for all the scenes. I'm just going to see, once I'm done with this one, I have six, how many chapters do I have to go? I have six chapters to go on this one, because I'm revising the draft now.
Do you know what I did?
It's right at all. No, tell me.
Started a new book.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. I am sticking with it. With this, because I knew I had to start the fifth draft. I literally just, before I started revising it, I read the first few chapters just to get back into, all right, what was I doing again? Mm. And just to see what needed to be done, because I had no idea where I was. Also to fall back in love with the story.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when I got that sort of like surge of energy to actually dig in, that's when I got back to the start and started doing the actual revision. Although I initially, that's what I do with every draft, is before I actually start cutting, I just leave lots of comments in the text.
Yes, yeah.
Although I do save a copy of every draft. I check what I have. I do it with all my projects. I'm like, okay, so where am I actually? So I look at the lay of the land. So something inside tells me, okay, now you're ready to tackle this.
Yeah. You've got to reread it, haven't you? But without making changes while you go through it.
That's why I leave the comments.
Yeah, you can write comments, but you can't actually make changes because then you just start into editing and you need to see the whole thing, don't you, first of all, before you start looking at the little aspects of it. And that's, I find that really hard to do. That's one of the most difficult skills for me personally. That was one of the most difficult skills to learn.
To just read it again.
Yeah.
Leave yourself notes and just see, like, basically, I always call it like sort of checking the damage.
Yes.
Like, how bad is it really? Like, so my promise to myself at the beginning of the year was, I'm gonna have a chapter of this revised, a chapter a week.
Yeah.
And I'm two chapters ahead, but I have to be, because sometimes I have a crazy week and I have some nonfiction that needs to be published. So I really don't have that much time to dive in. So sometimes I do like have like a maybe a week or 2 weeks that I haven't looked at this particular nonfiction project. And then I find myself fixing something. And then by the end of the chapter, I realize, oh, this is where I put that.
Yeah.
So I go back and I undo it because I'm like, oh, I think I should. So it's funny how you catch yourself sort of like fixing little plot things that you have already taken care of, but just like, you know, two paragraphs down.
Well, I think it takes a level of confidence in your writing to be able to leave things without fixing them, you know, with planning to go back to them. But that's just my personal view that. That's what I didn't have to start with. It's something that I needed to develop to be able to do.
Well, you need to have that little distance. You need to read it as a reader, because a lot of people think you are either the writer or you are the or the editor.
Yeah.
But in between writing and editing, you have to be the reader.
Yeah. And the other thing that I've learned to do is to do, as I go along, a summary. So I use Excel. And I have a list of who the point of view is from, what happens in that scene. So when Amy sends me the book back, I'll read through it again and make sure that all those are up to date.
Yeah.
So it's just a way of focusing on the bigger picture for me before we get into individual edits.
Yeah, and the nitty gritty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it, like you say, it has to go out to beta readers.
Oh, so you actually do pre-orders?
Yes.
Oh, well, I only do pre-orders when I know I can make it.
Yeah, well, it is quite a motivator.
Yes.
Again, it's a personal thing, but I wouldn't spend too long on a book because I get demotivated
Okay, so do you want to know how old I was when I started this project?
Go on. I knew you were young.
Yeah, so I was 14.
Yeah.
That's two whole decades ago.
Amy's series, though, she was about the same age.
Basically because other people tell me that I should stop taking breaks from it and just actually finish the thing and focus on it. Well, first of all, some of these people don't understand that I have bills to pay as well.
Yes. I mean,
it's nice living in this country, but you have to pay to stay here. Or I'll read something somewhere in a book that was like just published and it makes so much sense for my work.
Yeah.
So it's not, so it keeps evolving.
Yeah.
So I've tried to be, and of course, like I'm zen enough for this. I try to see it as it will be ready when it's ready. And that doesn't mean that I do not have issues with prioritizing, which I completely have. So we probably have to talk about that at some point.
But it does go back to what is right for one person is not right for another. So you have to find your own way, don't you?
And it's also the project, like co-writing like the romance series. That was easy.
It's a
completely different project.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. And I would, if somebody came to me now with like this amazing co-writing project that I could totally see myself working on, I'll probably accept it because it's, I can work on two nonfiction projects at the same time, two fiction projects at the same time. It's not a problem for me.
Oh, I can't.
I'll probably do it.
So we must have been talking for a little while.
Yes.
I was wondering if you've got an exercise for us because we've not talked about this.
No, and we also, we were supposed to talk about the last week's, not last week, the 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's weird.
Exercise. Yeah. We were supposed to talk about that before. So how about we first talk about that one?
Okay.
And the fact that I forgot about it and you didn't. And then I'll have the, and then I'll have the exercise. Okay, so do you want me to read the exercise again?
Can you remember it?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I have it in front of me, obviously. I cannot. I did not remember it before we started recording, but now I remember. Okay. So the exercise, last week's exercise, which I didn't do because I just told you about my crazy week, which is completely my own fault. Who are you writing for? Yourself, your great-great-grandmother who never had the chance to become a writer, that inspiring elementary school teacher who never stopped believing in you, one of your parents or both. Grab a notebook, open a new document, set the timer to 20 minutes and ask yourself who you want to reach the end for. Whoever it is, write them a letter, also if it's you, and explain to them why you have what it takes to reach that finish line.
Yeah. So that's what I did. I made a cup of tea. I set my snowman timer. And I did do it.
What was it like for you?
I discovered that I write for myself. I think I probably already knew that. I did write, but it's quite interesting that there were little bits that came out that I was, oh, really? And I wrote, I can be brave in my writing, and that inspires me to be brave in the real world.
Oh, wow.
Because it's a couple of weeks, obviously, since I did this, because I did it straight after. So I read it back before we started recording, and that was the one aspect that stuck out for me.
Oh, well, that's really good.
Yeah, because I didn't really... It's not something...
Oh, well, that phrase should be on your vision board that you don't have.
Yeah, on my wardrobe.
Yes, that should be on your wardrobe.
Yeah. I think it should. So, yeah.
Your vision wardrobe. Yeah, so I clearly didn't do it.
I'm looking forward to next fortnight's exercise then.
Yeah, I do. Like, I know, so I don't know why, but I do know the answer is me as well. Like, I think in the past, maybe I did it for other people, but in the meantime, it has become about me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so I have another exercise, and it comes with a quote again, and the quote is by Joanna Penn, and it's kind of funny now that we both realize we don't actually take breaks from our writing, because one way or the other, we will be writing. So Joanna Penn says this: I don't know why taking time off has to be emphasized so much to writers. No other profession seems to advocate doing the same thing every day without fail, even if it kills you. Even God took a day out to rest after 6 days of creating. So why can't you? Why can't we, Lou? Well, the 6 days, like I try to take 1 day a week off. It doesn't always work, but I am trying. So
I am trying.
Because no, you're just right.
No, I'm just happy. I'm happy with it being a habit. Yeah. I'm happy with it being an escape.
I think it's also different, especially, and that's probably because we have a day job as well.
Yeah.
It is that escape. But if it is like your full-time job,
yeah,
and it is something that you have to do.
But Stephen King does, writes every day.
Yeah, that is true.
Actually, you said you gave an example of when you're forced to take a break. If a loved one dies,
yeah,
I still write, but I don't write on a novel. I'll write about it. It's a way of trying to make sense of what's happened.
Yeah. So basically, if I have to include journaling into my writing practice,
Sure.
Like I said, I have issues seeing writing. Like, I know anything is writing, but I have issues seeing anything beyond the fiction trilogy as writing. But yeah, like, I journal all the time, and I'm like, I do tarot spreads, not just tarot spreads, but card spreads all the time. So I journal about them. So yes. Yeah, basically more than anything. Okay. So, but Joanna Penn thinks that we should take a break.
Okay.
So this is the exercise that I came up with today. And this is going to be, because I know there are people who do need to take that break. So I hope at least it will be helpful for those. And then still, it might also be useful for those who need to take a break, not necessarily from writing, but need to take a break from a project.
Yeah.
To prepare for that.
Marielle, are you going to make me take a break?
Well, you have a break from the project now that you sent Amy.
Yeah, but I'm working on the next one. But go on, tell me what it is.
I don't want to force you to do anything. as long as you're having fun, there's no need for a break, right? Okay. So this is the exercise. Do you take enough breaks from writing, or do you feel guilty for every day you don't get to write? Taking breaks from anything really is essential to our functioning. The trick is to be mindful of how you take your breaks and why. What do you intend to gain from being away for a bit? Think of the last time you took a break from your writing or from a writing project. Now ask yourself, was this a conscious decision or did it just happen? How did you feel before, during, and after your break? Was it easy or hard to get back into your writing? Was the break long enough, too short, too long? Take a few minutes to reflect on your answers. Depending on your results, you might want to answer the following questions before your next break, whether that is a break from your writing or a break from a particular project you've been working on. Why do you need this break? What are your intentions for this break? And do make sure these are realistic intentions. And three, when, where, and how are you going to pick up where you left? Mm-hmm. That's it.
Where and how? Okay. Okay. I'll give that some thought. I'm not promising to take a break, but I'll give it some thought. And we can talk about it in the next episode.
Yes, and do remind me to actually do this exercise, please.
Well, I might need you to send me the actual exercise so that I can put it on.
I will do that. I will do that.
Because I've tried to write it down, as you were saying, but it was quite long.
This is one of the longest one I've ever made, I think.
Yeah.
So I'll send you everything.
Okay. Thank you for that. Okay. And I shall see you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter, or visit our website at divingintowriting.com. We'd love to hear from you, and if you'd like to leave us a review, we'd be ever so grateful. Bye for now.